Torahway, Northwest London, Yud Beis Elul, 8th of September, Rabbi Don Kaufman, Shlita, Asei Doicha Loi Sase. This week's Torahway Shiurim have been sponsored this Chus, Reb Moshe Ben Pesel Scheindl Nereyor. We daven for our dear friend, Mr. Joseph's Refuah, and for his early return to Torahway in good health. Sheyizkeh L'Refuah Shleima, B'Soch Sh'or Cholei Yisrael.
Amen.
Okay, Rabbi Isaac. Well, as the year closes, the Yom HaDin looms ahead, people standardly will take stock of their deeds in the year. And in the same manner, as the year comes to an end and looms ahead is Simchas Torah, when we are Messiah Chamisha Chumshin Torah, this will be the right time of the year to take stock of Chamisha Chumshin Torah. What is Chamisha Chumshin Torah? What is a posuk? What's the definition of a posuk? And how are psukim made? What makes words into a posuk? That's a question which Chazal focus on a lot, and that's what I'm trying to explain. What the definition of a posuk is very important as part of the authenticity of Torah, because at the end of every sedra, at the end of every chumish, and at the end of the Zoyis HaBrocha as well, the Baal Masorah quote how many psukim there are. And this is a necessity to retain the authenticity of Torah. If anybody would try to forge the Torah, he would have to start changing the number of psukim, and then immediately, that's not the real thing. And the number of words that go into a posuk, and which neginas are on that posuk, all make a difference, and anybody who tried to forge it would fail. For example, the posuk Lechsachsoim Shoyer Bedishoy. One second, let me just find the posuk, please. Here. Rashi says in this posuk that how you mustn't muzzle an ox while it's working and while it's ploughing. What happens if you muzzle it before you come into the field, back home, in the barn? You muzzle it, and then you bring it out that way and you start working. Is that forbidden or not? That's Rashi, poses that question. And Rashi says, says Rashi, no, it's not allowed. Why not? Because it says Loi Sachson. And when it says Loi Sachson, it means absolutely you mustn't under any circumstances. Who says? Where did Rashi take this from? What's the source of this? And the answer is, you watch carefully the way the Neginas are marked. Generally speaking, when you have the word Loi in the Posuk, the word Loi is a forceful word. No, you mustn't. And as such, it normally stands as an independent word. So here are some examples from this parasha. There are examples all over the place. Some examples here. Pasuk Gimel. Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Chaf Gimel. There's a rule about basting. About not over exaggerating the number of malkuth which are given, and it says loy yosef, but the word yosef, not hyphenate in one word, loy yosef. Each is an independent word, an independent nagina. Loy yosef, you mustn't give any more than 39 malkuths, for example. Or another example, also from this parsha, in the issa of ribis, it says, possibly. Loi is an independent word. You mustn't is an independent word. Okay, let's say another example from random examples from Parshas Hazinu. We talk about Kodesh Baruch Hu as Eil Emuno ve Ein Ovel. Ein's got its own nigi, not Ein Ovel. Ein Ovel. And so on, wherever you go. Ein's got its own word. Loi and Ein, because then the forceful words have their own nagina. And here it's not written by that. Here it says, Loi Sachsoim, and Loi is hyphenated with the word Sachsoim. hyphenated. Why is it hyphenated? Really? It should be loy, saxon, don't, mathol, and doesn't, so don't saxon. So that means you're focusing on the word saxon. So therefore, Rashi saw that as a reason to say, under all circumstances, saxon is not allowed. The finer points. Now, let's go to another example. Right, a posuk. Loisil bashatnez, temra fishtim yachdov, and the next word is gedilim tasaloch, you shall make cities. And the Gemara, and Rashi quotes a Gemara in Yevamos, posuk with Aleph. Gedilim tasaloch, af min haklayim. You are allowed to make tzitzis, which are kelayim. So if you have a linen garment, you may have woolen tzitzis or the other way around. Now you can't normally have the two in the same garment, otherwise not. Here you're allowed. And that's a Gemara in Yevamos, beginning of Yevamos. And from this limud, the Gemara goes away, right, goes through Shas, with a rule of why you're allowed to have sharpnays in tzitzis. Because the mitzvah asay is to have tzitzis, and that overrules a negative of don't have kelayim. Asay de loichas. And where does it come from? From this posuk, right here. But where in the posuk is it written? That's the question. Now, smichus, yes. So let me open the Gemara Yevamos. It's a very first Mishnah. The Mishnah there is talking about in which cases are there exceptions and Yibum is not done. And one of the exceptions is that if two brothers marry two sisters and one of them unfortunately passed away without childless, so his wife would marry under the rules of Yibum to his brother. But in this case, you can't because she happens to be the sister of his wife. And two sisters can't be married to the same man at the same time. So therefore, you can't do it. That's one of the exceptions the Mishnah talks about. And then the Gemara comes and asks a question on that. The Gemara's got a whole series of questions. Ein li elo hi. What about at shikam? What about the co-wife? The Gemara gives an answer to that. Talmud Roma, the Gemara brings a certain drosha. Minayin, how do you know? The word minayin means how do you know? I don't know, unless you bring me an answer, so I do know the answer. So then I know what it is. And the Gemara goes through six questions, one after the other. Minayin, then the Gemara asks a question, not only with two sisters, it may be another relative. How do you know? Minayin, the Gemara gives an answer. Gemara asks another question, what about the relative, the co-wives of the other, a whole series of questions. And each one, the Gemara says, minayin, how do you know? I don't know. And finally, at the bottom of the page, the Gemara says that, how do you know altogether? Right. So it's forbidden to have to do yibum in the case of two brothers that married to two sisters. And it's forbidden because the Gemara brings a drosha that says, Wedoleha, we make a hekish. We don't. We have a reason. So the Gemara says, why do you need to teach me that you don't? Surely, you can do it. I would have known it, wouldn't I? That you don't do that. Says the Gemara, yes. You might have thought you would do Yibum. Maybe we would do Yibum and it would teach you that you don't. So the Gemara, Menolom. Who says? I say the Chalos. But the Gemara didn't say Minayin. The Gemara said Minolon. The difference is this. Minayin means, I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong or I'm right. I don't know. Minolon means, I know it. But where do you know it from? I know it. I know it. I say. Just tell me where you know it from. It's an assumption. It's understood. It's clear. It's obvious. Is it? Why is it obvious? From this posuk. Where is it obvious in the posuk? That's a question. That's the point I want to address. The Gemara itself, as it's perfectly obvious that say is going to be a sasei. And it's not a matter of svar, the Gemara says in Makkos. But to say the darshan smichus, that's not simple logic at all. Let's say right in front of me, and on the same page, it says here, let's take an example, a mitzvah of Shiluch HaKam. Shalech Tashalech HaSoeim, send the mother bird away, do mitzvah Shiluch HaKam. Next posuk, Kesivna Bayis Chodosh, we'll see some market. When you have a house, build a flat roof, build a fence. And the two psukim are next to each other. So can anybody decide, okay, two psukim are next to each other, smichas a psukim, so when you build a new house and you build a market, you don't have to worry about Shiluch HaKam. You can't make up droshes like that, just because two psukim are next to each other at random, all over the Torah, just say, all right, two psukim next to each other, one overrules the next. Not at all. So why is it that the Leishel Vashatnes, right next to it, Gedilim Tashaloch, all right, that Shatnes overrules Gedilim? How do you know? And the Gemara says, we know it. How do you know? So let's go into the mechanics. How does it work? Yes?
Isn't there sort of a principle that Asse versus both Asse doesn't work if you don't need to do them at the same time?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's the rules, many rules in Shas.
You don't have to have a cotton bag in the morning sisters, do you?
But you're perfectly entitled to do so. If you want to, go ahead and do it.
But you don't need
you can. You want to go to the shop and buy one, you're right. Nothing wrong.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to eat bananas either, but if you want to, you can.
If you don't wear four corner garment, then why do you need to wear sitters?
That's a separate question about sitters, that. Yeah. Right? So let's start from the very beginning. Unlike man-made languages, Lashon HaKodesh, which comes from Shemayim, doesn't have any such thing as a one-letter word. And equally, there's no such thing as a one-word posuk. Now, posuk is one word, and Nagina is sof posuk. No such thing. Two words, sometimes. Two words, you find it in ksuvim, in the Vayomim and some of the far ends of Tanakh, you find psukim comprising of two words. What about in Torah? Kamishakom Shetorah. Is there two words?
Three.
Maybe. For example, here's examples. So in Asesa Dibros, when we read Tam Elyon, then we make 13 psukim out of 10. And then you've got two words, Lo Signo, this becomes a whole posuk. There's two words in a posuk. All right. There's another case. Three. Well, I haven't got three yet. I'm climbing upwards. Start from the bottom, okay? Two words. Well, there's something like that in Parshas Vayigash, in the before Shishi, when the Torah lists the families, the children of Yaakov that came with him, traveled to Mitzrayim to make up the Shivim Nefesh. It mentions that each of his children and their children. Let me find it. Shishi. Here, right. So it says, Uvnei Osher, Yimno, Yishro, etc. Uvnei, Bnei Rochel, lists. Uvnei Don, Hushim. Now, three words or two words? It's three words.
Three words.
But it's only two words. Because Uvnei Don is hyphenated. Now, we have a fixed rule. There is no posuk in the whole of Tanakh. There's no rule book about it, but the Tanakh is itself the rule book. If that's we don't find the Tanakh, then that's the rule. There's no posuk in the whole of Tanakh which doesn't have a tipcha. No such posuk. Anyway, that's the rule. A tipcha. Tipcha also posuk. Therefore, by default, you must have at least two words in a posuk. There must be a tipcha and there must be a sof posuk. That's of an end. Yeah.
Tipcho?
Yes, actually. But that's only half a posuk. That's a partial b'emes a posuk. Oh, but it's only half a posuk. It's not a whole posuk. So you've got something. Uvnei Don is hyphenated. Tipcho, sof posuk. So you've got two words here. Why is it written Uvenedon? Okay, so there are explanations. Rashi, I think the best explanation is Rashi in Parshas Pinchas refers to this and says that there were actually more sons of Don, but they were sort of categorized under Hushim, who was the main one. So that's why it's Uvenei Hushim. That's why. So it's the same as all the other ones had various sons, Uvenei, and then the whole list. So here, even though there's only one name to follow, we keep the same pattern, and it's still true. That's what Rashi says. An even better example, and more that stands out a lot more, in Parshas Pinchas, between Sheni and Shlishi, we list the families as to the divisions of the land in Eretz Yisrael. And over there, you have a posuk. Well, is it two or is it four? It says, Uvenei Koyrach lo yimesu. I think that's four words, but it's not. It's two words. It says, Uvenei Koyrach lo yimesu. Two sets of two. But then you're left with two. Tipcho, soy posuk. Uvenei Koyrach lo yimesu. Why? There's always explanations for it. The explanation in that particular case, I would suggest to you, and that's my suggestion, that why did the children of Korach not falter against in the machlokes of Korach? It's because Korach was Korach. Korach was no small man. He was a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. He was a learned man. He was one of the major levim who carried the Aron HaKodesh. And he, no doubt, gave his children a good education at home. And that, yes, he got sucked into a machlokes. Look, we've known it many a time that even great people get sucked into machlokes. But his children didn't get sucked in, because they were well brought up, and they were saved. Why were they saved? Not because of themselves, because they were the sons of Korach, and they were well brought up and educated. Uvnei Korach le'mesu, not Uvnei Korach. Uvnei Korach. So it's hyphenated. Korach is the focus. And then it says, le'mesu. It doesn't say le'mesu, it's le'mesu. It's hyphenated. Why? Rashi says, Rashi begins the Gemara, which says that Mokem Niftzabem was a special place in Gan Eden, in Gehenna, which is on the edge or up on top. They're not to the depths of. That's what Rashi begins the Gemara. Now, look, there's two possibilities. There's something called Chai. A man's walking along the road, he's alive. Something called Mace, down under. And if he's a Rosha, then he's gone into the depths of Gehenna as well. That's Mace. If you say, you can say chai, you could also say, same thing, lo yimesu, not dead. If he's not dead, then he's alive. It's only one or the other, isn't it? True, but there is an in-between. The in-between is not mace, and not chai, it's lo yimesu. Lo yimesu is a certain in-between status, which is not mace. You can't say lo yimesu, but then it would be chai.
Half alive.
And what half alive? That's what Rashi is telling us. Rashi is telling us they got sucked into the hole. They're not walking the streets anymore, but they're not dead either, because they're not in the depth of Gehenna. And that is an in between called Leimes. So therefore, you've got four words made into two words. There are such things as two words, two word psukim in some format in Chamishah Chumash. Two words, yes. In some format, but not plain two words. Now, three words that we have plenty of. How many? 14. There's 14 of them. That's written down. That's written in the Masoro. Where's it written? In Parshas Pinchas says there are 14 cases of three words. Now, what happens to three word pasuk? Standardly, if two words is tipcho sof pasuk, what happens to three words? Mechot tipcho sof pasuk. So here are some of the examples that we're all familiar with. Vayehev Yitzchok, Bigeron, Mechot tipchot sof pasuk. Or in this week's Sedra, four words become three words, five words. Lo sacharosh, v'sholu v'chamor, Yachdov. It's five, it's cut down to three. In Parshas Trumo, Tesafa, Rofsiso, Mishmatois, Sohov. And that's the way the three negidas make up a pasuk. That, yes. This week's center we have Mechashefo, Loi, Sechaye. There you can't have Mechotipcho. Because you can't have Mechashefo, Loi, Sechaye. Someone who's not a witch maker, you should keep alive. That wouldn't make any sense. So then we change it. It's not Mechotipcho, it's Tipcho Mercho. Mechashefo, Loi, Sechaye. because if you put mechatepcha, it would ruin the pasuk. So it has to change. Okay, these are examples. Other well-known examples, we're going to come next week. The standard mechatepcha makes a pasuk. When you come to, let's go up from 3 to 4, 4 takes me to the most basic pasuk in the whole Torah. Vadaber Hashem, Moshe, Lemur. Mecha, tipcha, mecha, add another one in, another mecha. Mecha, tipcha, mecha, say pasuk. Vadaber Hashem, El Moshe, Lemur. And yet in Parshas Pinchas, it's the other way around. Vadaber Moshe, El Hashem. So you can't say Vadaber Moshe, El Hashem, Lemur. Because Vadaber Hashem, El Moshe, Lemur means Hashem told Moshe, instructing him to say. So you and Moshe Lemur goes together. But when Moshe speaks to Hashem, you can't tell Hashem what to say. You can't write by the way Moshe El Hashem Lemur. Right? You can't. But then it changes. Because the same words, same number of words, is said by the way Moshe El Hashem Tipcho Lemur. Because then it means spoke to Hashem Lemur, saying, not telling him what to say. It has to change. Some Negilas have to change. Now let's go from 4 to 5 and then to 6. So that's 4s. Here, so what about some? Have a look for some 4s. Those are the 4s. What about the 5s? Here we are. What happens when you get up? Now, when you come to 5, here the fun starts. This is where we meet the Esnachdo for the first time. A 5-word posuk sometimes does, sometimes doesn't have an Esnachdo. It depends on the. On the necessity, but 2 and 3 don't have an esnachta. But 4, but 5 does sometimes. So here's give an example. Uvene Levi, tip esnachta kishen kahot brori. Another example. Ulmate vene don mosit pashas ve yigash buki ben yogli se pashas masyamin. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But here is the rule. The rule again is not rule written in any book. It's written in the Torah itself, in Tanakh, in Torah. Let's keep the Torah at the moment. In Torah, where you have a posuk of 6 words, there has to be an esnachta. If there are occasionally some exceptions, there are, then that is the grounds for a drosha. Drosha's chazal. Any time there's, so I'll give 1 or 2 examples of that. But if you say it every morning, every evening, and every morning, Vishnanto Lovilech with the Barto Bom. Now, Vishnanto Lovilech, some people think this means it's an instruction to teach your son, but that's not correct actually, because the instruction to teach your son comes from Limata Moises Benechem. So, what's Vishnanto Lovilech mean? What is it? What is it saying to you? So, that's why I have to Dalshan because of this Kasha. There's another answer as well. Vishnanto Lovilech. Look, it has been heard of, that a father throws up his arms in despair. I tell them, he doesn't listen to me, the poor boy doesn't listen to me. I don't get anywhere. Or Shantav Vnech, even at Talmidim, Chazal say it means to your Talmid. It's happened before, Rebbe says, I tried my best, and I couldn't break in. Didn't listen to me. There's a certain answer here. Not always, there's other influences which come into play, but sometimes the answer may be, listen, my dear father or my dear Rebbe, you're not sincere. You're not toichik abaroi. And you're not praying what you preach. And the child picks up on this and says, he's not sincere. In which case, I won't listen. The posuk says, v'hoyu ha-dvorim ho-eila, asher anuichim mitzav ka-yom al vavechus, 8 words. And that posuk, 8 words long, more than 6, there's no snachta there. It's missing a snachta. When the esnachta is missing, the end of the posuk is the esnachta, and the next posuk is the second half of the same posuk. Therefore, the Torah is saying to you, "V'ho'yu ha'dvarim ho'el asher anuichim tzev chayim al v'vecho." If it's in your heart and you're sincere, v'shinam tom l'v'necho, you will succeed to teach your child. It's not an instruction to teach; it's an assurance that you will succeed to teach your child, your son, or your pupil, or your child. An instruction. Now I'll give 1 more example. We won't spend all the time on that. Example that's coming up on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah. When we reach the Akedah, Vahi bayom ha'shlishi. Vayisa Avrom es Einov. Vayar asamokoim meirochik. Posuk. And the next posuk carries on. Vayom Avrom l'orov shvulachem po. You stay here in Machamor. He's talking to his son Yishmael. You stay here with the donkeys. Shmuel did nothing wrong. He was accompanying his father. Nothing wrong. But the Chazal come in here with a sledgehammer. Pum! You absolute rotter that you are. You're worth as much as a donkey. What's a poor lad done wrong? Why comment? What's a source for a comment like this? Look at the pasuk carefully. It says, "Bayom Shlishi, Ayos Risa Avraham." Esenov, that's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words. V'yaz ha'mokim me'rochek. It's all the place. Rashi quotes there, Medrash, he saw fire. Probably means a spiritual fire. He sensed that place there, over there. I can see it. That's Kedusha there. And he said to Yishmael, do you see it? Yishmael said, no. So Avraham Avinu says to him, you are thick, you are. You don't sense Kedusha. Where's the spirituality? You've got the spirituality in you. You're as thick as a chamor. You're materialism. No, you're not spiritual at all. You can't sense the spirituality right there on the mountain. Stay here with the donkey. You're as thick as a donkey because you don't have any spiritual sensitivity. And so it is all over the place of Torah. Where there's more than six words, six, seven or more, then there is a reason for this special reason which makes for a drosha. The longest one, just by the way, for the statistics, is the last pasuk in Eschanan. The last pasuk in Eschanan is "Vushemato samitzvah v'sachukim v'samishvotim asher noichim tavcho hayoyim la'asoyson." That's 12 words. That's the longest, and there's no slachta there. That's the longest in the Torah. The Chazal say on that hayoyim, this world, you do. In the next world, you get the reward. Where do we see it? What's the source of Chazal? Because here there's 12 words without us in the Snachta. And the next thing is, well, you ekdish one and you get the rewards. There's a linkage to the rewards. Because there's more than six words. Now, let's go now back to our Pashas Kisetze. You have a posse. Lo yisil v'ashach is, zemra fishtim yachta. That's six words. Not only is it six words, but it is the perfect six-word pasuk. It comprises of a set of two. Lo yisil b'ashatneis, esnachto. Seim rufishtim yachtov. Perfect, but it's not. There's no esnachto. Lo yisil b'ashatneis, seim rufishtim yachtov. But there should be an esnachto here. Perfect. There isn't. Oh, said Chazal, there's no esnachto. There's a smichus. Because the whole thing belongs to the next pasuk, Kedilin Tasaloch. That's and based on that comes the whole sugya. Oh, I say the Eloisa, say B'chol Hashas. Because if one doesn't says Menolon, how do you, I know it? Just tell me where it's written. It's obvious where we took it from. Because there's no snack. That's absolutely obvious. Oh, it's time. All right, I'll stop here. Yeah. I don't know. So for so
possible.
Nothing's
There's no
shatter
in the middle.
No pussy.